Well, in the Jewish scriptures, what we call the Old Testament, there are several different names for God. Most of us grew up in a tradition where we're used to calling, God or Lord or, Father, something like that. But there's lots of different names for God. And one of the names that shows up is the name, it's sometimes pronounced into English this way, Jehovah Jireh. The word Jehovah is interesting because it comes from the Yahweh name. And what this means is usually translated as God provides. So that's one way to look at it. We'll look at a couple of other ways as well. But if this Yahweh name that comes into English sometimes as Jehovah means I am. And so rather than thinking of this being up in the sky that's providing, there's this presence of energy, of intelligence that pervades the universe that says, I am. It says, I am in us, but it says, I am in everything. And that's what provides, that's what is providing. So that's another way of looking at that, is that presence of God saying, I am provision, or I am providing. That's this presence that's here for us in everything. The challenge is that we're so used to looking at the world, we've been trained to look at the world just with our physical eyes rather than spiritual vision. And so we'll look, and many times what we see is what isn't there that we wish was there, rather than seeing the possibilities and that energy of substance, that energy of spirit that's available underneath all things ready to express in a greater way. And so part of our job is to recognize that that's the way that we've been trained so that we can retrain ourselves and take responsibility for the way that we see and the way that we experience the universe. There's a story in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 4, where Elisha, who is the succeeder, the successor for Elijah, the great prophet, and he's traveling around and he sees this widow and asks her, basically, how are things going? And she's saying, well, my husband has died, and the creditor came and wanted to take my two sons into bondage to pay for the debts. I don't have any other way to do it. And he says, well, what do you have? And she says, well, I don't have anything. He says, what do you have in your house? She says, well, I've got a little pot of oil. He says, okay, have your sons go and borrow other pots and keep filling it. Just pour in the oil and fill them all up. Pay your debts, sell the oil, pay the debts, and with what's rest, you'll have enough to live for a while. So it says that she went in, locked herself in the house with these pots that her sons had got, and she kept filling. And as long as there was a pot, she could pour oil out of her pot. And when the last pot came and it filled up, that's all the oil that there was. And so this story, again, we can say, well, that's sort of a funny miracle story. But what it's trying to teach us is that as much as we are able to receive, as much capacity as we create within our consciousness, God can fill. So if we come to God with a little teacup, say, oh God, I want this much, God can say, I can do that. If we come with a bucket, God can say, I can fill that. If we come with a tanker truck, God says, I can fill that. If we come and hook up a pipeline in our consciousness to it, then there'll always be a flow in that consciousness. And that's what we're invited to do, to see that God is providing, that I am presence is ready to provide for us in a greater way. And again, many times we think of this in a spiritual way because we're here at church, but even scientists, there's a scientist, Nikola Tesla, who was worked with Westinghouse in the early days of electricity and stuff and had many, many kinds of inventions. Here's what he said, my brain is only a receiver. In the universe, there is a core from which we obtain knowledge, strength, and inspiration. I have not penetrated into the secrets of this core, but I know that it exists. So this from a scientist. He says there's a core. The way we usually say it is that God is the source, source with a capital S. God is our source in greater way. Here's another way that I remember the first time I heard this. God opens a way where to human sense, there is no way. How many times do we look at a situation? Do we look at a relationship? Do we look at a healing problem that we have and we say, there's no way? And the key is that with God, there is a way. God opens a way in our minds, in our consciousness, in our experiences, when that's what we're looking for, whether we're looking for what isn't there, whether when we're not looking for the endings and what isn't enough, when we look for possibilities, then God can work in our way. Tesla calls it a core of knowledge in the universe that's available to us in every moment. So here's just an example, a little video. Some of you may have seen it. You sent it to me this week, but I'd seen it before. So this is from Paraguay. A slum built on a landfill. So she says, my name, she gives a name, she's 13 years old, she plays the violin. Here's a violin that's built out of trash. His name is Juan. He plays the cello. Here's his cello. It's made out of an old oil can, wood that was thrown away.
There's
a spoon to tune it. Something made to tenderize beef and to make gnocchi. So stuff that we would throw away, stuff that was thrown away, became a musical instrument. Why? Because first it was that violin. There was this thing that was in the shape of a violin, and one of these guys being a trash, he says, maybe I could make an instrument out of that. And they did, and they made lots of instruments out of that. And so we have to recognize that when we see what is seemingly present in life at the surface of life, that's just a small, small beginning of the possibilities that are available to us. So my title today, well, there we go, God opens a way where human senses know a way. Abundance is available. Abundance is available all the time. And again, just to give an example, I was talking with Mike Berry. He'd done some research with his daughter on his ancestors, and he found that his great-great-great-grandfather is buried in the cemetery at Trinity Church in New York City. And so as they were, you know, looking about the church, and they found the gravestone and everything, they also found that there's a controversy in Trinity Church. They have found out that Queen Elizabeth has included in her estate a gift to their church. Now, she's not dead yet, but they're already arguing about what they're going to do with this bequest that they don't have. They don't even know how much it is. And I just thought, isn't that interesting? Caught up in this fight about something that's not even there, rather than celebrating that there's this opportunity that's coming, they're fighting about it. And so we recognize that what Scripture points us to is that a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, or a good woman out of the good treasure of her heart, brings out that which is good, because what's inside is the good. And an evil man, and again, I'll come back to this word evil in a moment, out of the evil treasure of heart brings out that which is evil. And so then out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. You've heard me say before is that whatever it is that's filled in our consciousness, when life squeezes us, that's what's going to come out. You know, if we're an angry person, when life squeezes us, what's going to come out is anger. If we're a peaceful person, when life squeezes us, what's going to come out is peace. And so we're responsible for what's in our hearts. And we can say, oh, well, so-and-so said this, and they hurt me, and this and that. You're still responsible for what's going on in there. That's why Gretchen does her forgiveness class, so that we can do that cleanup work that we have. And so the question for me as I think about this scripture is this: what do you want in abundance in your heart? What do you want to fill your heart with? What do you want? And again, we are each responsible for doing that work of seeing that the material outlook on life tunes us into lack, what's missing. And that's what the word evil points us to. In the Aramaic language, the word that's translated into English as evil means unripe. So think of that scripture this way, that out of the unripeness of someone's heart, they speak unripeness. And so they haven't had that spiritual maturity, they don't have that spiritual understanding, they don't have that greater realization about that good that's there, and so they're living in that sense of incompleteness, of unripeness. And it's time for us to say, I want to move beyond that. I want to fill my heart. I want to fill my consciousness with that good of God, with that love, that peace, that wisdom, with that joy that's working in our life. Now, the other word that we get sometimes when we hear Jesus say that the kingdom of God is within you, there's another way of looking at this word kingdom, that from the Hebrew word that's translated in English as kingdom, we get domain, commonwealth, council, reign, rule. So that the kingdom of God is about this wisdom, counsel that comes to us, this understanding that comes to us so that we can have dominion over our lives. It's not about dominion over other people's lives, but it's about dominion over our own consciousness. And the Greek word that's translated into English as kingdom means power. It comes from a word that means power. So we're talking about this power of God, kingdom of God, is this power of God within us that's available to us to shape our consciousness according to that pattern of abundance, of life and joy that we're wanting in our life. So let's come back to this idea here that God as source, capital S, meaning this is the wisdom, the intelligence, the blessing, all that is available to us comes from God as our source. And that's what we want to be looking for as the solution. And so with that, God's infinite good is ours to call on. And so our job is to bring it forth, not just say, oh, I've got this potential, but to be doing the work to bringing it forth in our lives. So you all remember the old railroad crossing, and we're told to stop, look, and listen, right? So I want us to do that with one more little piece after that. So the beginning is to stop, to recognize that we need to learn when we're thinking in lack, when we're thinking in illness, when we're thinking about what's wrong with somebody else, we need to stop. We need to take responsibility, not worry about what they're doing or not doing, but take responsibility to stop that thinking and to do something else, to think something else in our lives. I found a quote from Steve Jobs, who was one of the founders of Apple. He says, people were talking about how much money he had. He said, my main reaction to this money thing is that it's humorous. All the attention to it because it's hardly the most insightful or valuable thing that's happened to me. See, it wasn't about the money, it was about his creativity, about his willingness to innovate, about his daring to step into something when he didn't quite know exactly what was going to happen. That's what created the money. The money didn't create that experience. What he had in him and how he lived his life, that's what created that. And so when we're looking at the results, and in a sense we look at that anything that's in the material world is already disintegrating. It's the result of the creative process. It's the end part of the creative process. And once it's created, it starts to fall apart. And so what we need to be focusing on is not the end product, but a process out of which we are continually bringing forth more of that good of God in our lives. So that's what we want to do, is to be looking at that in our lives. Now, and just to say that this is not just a twisted way to look at this, at spiritual principles of the Christian tradition. This comes from all the different traditions. This is from the Hindu tradition. Abundance is knowing that everything you need has already been supplied. This comes out of the Sufi tradition, part of Islam. There it is. Abundance can be had simply by consciously receiving what has already been given. So all the different spiritual traditions teach that this abundance is available to us. And so when we're thinking that it's not, when we're thinking that it's missing, we have to stop that thinking and reconnect to something else and look in a greater way. So here's... all right, here's our affirmation for, well, move beyond the fears and resentments. I was watching in my own consciousness the other day. I was in this process of thinking about, some healing that I wanted to do for myself and for others. And all of a sudden, what popped into my mind was this resentment that I had for someone. And what I saw happen, that here I was building up this consciousness of healing, and as soon as that resentment came in, all those other things just collapsed. And I realize that as I forgive, then I don't need to deal with that, and then I can build that consciousness according to what I want. And so we have to learn to move beyond these fears and resentments in our lives. So here's the affirmation. I speak God's word of abundance. Let's say that together. I speak God's word of abundance. So whenever we catch ourselves thinking or talking about lack or limitation or illness or anything, we have to stop and then exercise this affirmation. I speak a word of, and so we can say health, 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 joy, 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 life, 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 love, you know, whatever it is that you're working on, whatever it is that you want to create, whatever it is that you're wanting to fill your heart with so that that's what's coming out. That's what we need to do, is stop that old pattern and to begin to fill this pattern in our lives. So the next is to look. Stop, look, listen. So the next is to look. And again, looking not with these eyes, but to look with that spiritual understanding that we have in our lives. Because again, on the surface, what's going to appear is never going to be enough. But underneath is that living presence. And just a symbol of that, during the Depression, Unity Village was having a difficult time. They had just started to move the Silent Unity operation from Kansas City downtown area out to the village. And when the Depression hit, their donations just went boom, down. And so they reconsolidated and moved Silent Unity back down. But they're still trying to develop what then they call the farm rather than the village. They call it Unity Farm. And one of the things they needed was water. So they were drilling for water, and they found oil. So it helped out a little bit with that income stream in life. And so it's recognizing that when we set our minds towards what it is that we can do in a creative way, what we can do as spiritual beings to bring forth blessings into the world out of this God presence that's everywhere, when that's our focus, other things will happen, other blessings will come that we didn't set our minds on, but because our mind is set on being connected to that flow of God, other things will be revealed and show up in our lives as a blessing. So that's our work in there. And another version of this Jehovah Jireh name is that God sees, is how it's translated sometimes, instead of God provides, but also God is seen in the sense of God is revealed. So when we're looking, not just with our physical eyes, but looking with that deeper part of ourselves, we'll see revelations of Spirit working in our lives in different way. One of the letters in the New Testament, the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 11, talks about it this way. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, as it was the substance of things which have come to pass." In other words, we've already invested our faith and brought things forth in our life. And so we can still use that process. "It is the evidence of things not seen." So that faith is the evidence of things that are real, but they're just not seen yet. And then in the third verse, chapter 11, it says, "For it is through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and that things which are seen came from those which are not seen." So the visible world comes from the invisible world. That's the pattern, and that's what we need to look for, is to see how we're connected to that. Jesus said, "Let your treasure not be where it can rust and be stolen, but let your treasure be in heaven, not in an afterlife that we're waiting to get to, but in that presence of that kingdom of abundance, of blessing, of life, of ideas, of energy that's already present." That's what we're called to look for in our lives. To recognize that the blocks that show up are just indications that there's something greater that we can bring forth. The difficulties that we have just means that there's more love that can be demonstrated. You know, the challenges that are there are simply to help us move from our unripeness into a spiritual demonstration in the midst of our lives. In American Sign Language, the sign for abundance is, it's like, what am I going to create? Something more, something more. And even the Kumeyaay, the natives that lived in this area before the Spanish came, if you've ever seen the San Diego River, there's sometimes where the river is underground. You don't see it, but the river's still there. And so they called it an upside-down river. That was their name for it. Because they knew the water was there, just the water was underneath instead of on top, the way we think it's supposed to be. And so we need to learn and to train ourselves to look for more than just appearances, to see that there's something more that we can bring forth in our life. So stop, look, listen. So this is that listening. And again, remember that phrase that God opens a way where to human sense there is no way. So that if we're going to look for that way, then we have to open ourselves. We have to say, all right, God, show me. I'm receptive. I'm open. I'm responsive. I'm working in a greater way. I love the Bible verse where it's translated this way, that Jesus saying, it is the Father's good pleasure to have given you the kingdom. Not to give you, but has given you. It's already present, already available to us. And so our job is to listen to it. And just as if, you know, you think about when they have a mine, when they're mining for ore, mining for precious metal. They dig down deep and they bring stuff out, and they don't just do it once. They do it over and over and over and over and over again for years. And so there's this wonderful treasure, this blessing, this infinite good that's available to us in this presence of God. We've got to dig for it. Keep listening. Keep opening ourselves again and again. And each moment there's an opportunity for a new revelation, for new blessings. As I was thinking about this listening, I was reflecting on the fact that I serve on several different nonprofit boards. And what I find is that as I listen to, you know, because there's always challenges and difficulties and people mad about this and that, you know, particularly on the HOA board that I'm on. But as I listen, what I find is I've got some experience, something I've learned from another, serving on another board, some information that I can bring to the situation to help elevate the consciousness, to elevate the conversation in a different way. And so it's recognizing that Spirit always has an answer. When I do spiritual counseling, you know, people come in with challenges, many times difficult challenges, and I don't know the answer, but as I'm listening to them and paying attention to what they're saying, I'm also listening to Spirit, and I'm asking Spirit, I'm saying, Spirit, give me something for this person. What is it that you want them to know? What is it that you want them to hear? And then here will come this insight, something that I had would have no idea about, that shows up in my consciousness so that I can share it. And so that's the key, is that as we keep being open, then more and more of that can work into our life. Sometimes when we sing the song, Sweep Over My Soul, we put a little motion to it, you know, sweep over my soul, sweep out hate and fear, sweep in love and peace, sweep in joy and grace. And so it's helpful sometimes to have those motions. So again, with this sense that God's abundance is everywhere available, although invisible to begin with, is just to imagine that we're just, that our listening is just this sweeping up, bringing into our consciousness, bringing into our heart, this understanding, this information, this sense of connectedness, this sense of joy, this sense of love, whatever it is that we're looking for. To bring it in, just to say, I'm bringing it in. I'm open. I'm receptive. I'm filling myself to overflowing so that when life squeezes me, what comes out is this God stuff, this good stuff that I've been working on in life. And the other part of this listening is there's a phrase that somebody used once that again, still works in my consciousness. And he said that ideas are the currency of the kingdom of God. And again, so many times when we're having a difficulty, we're looking for something, someone who's going to solve our problem. And what this says is that it's an idea, a divine idea, when we lay hold of it, will come alive in our consciousness and will be transformative. And so rather than looking for things or someone to fix us, look for those divine ideas that when they capture our awareness, that they'll blossom and grow into that fulfillment that's there. So again, whether we're looking for health or we're looking for a job, whatever, to get that sense of that aliveness of God working in us, and then it'll move in our minds in a great and powerful way. So stop, look, and listen. That's what we were told. But then when you came to that train thing and that came down, you'd stop, look, and listen. Eventually the train would go by, right? And then it was time to proceed. To keep going. We don't just wait for the next train to go by. We move on in life. And so here's what we need to do is then to look on and move on in life. Another translation of Jehovah Jireh is God sees it, or another one, I am seeing to it. God is seeing to it. This living presence isn't just waiting. It's already at work because it's been creating for a long, long time. And that's what it is. It's a creative process, and it invites us into proceeding with that participation in that creative process as well, working in it as well. And so basically to know that we're in the flow. We're in this flow of life. It's working in our bodies, you know, as the blood flow, as our breathing in and out. It's a circulation in our nervous system. But that's founded on that flow of energy that is God, that flow of divine ideas that is God, that's already there, already calling us to work in it. So, stop, look, listen, proceed. So how do we apply this? So think about whatever situation that you're facing in your life that isn't the way that you want. And so let's just start with it isn't the way that you want and just say, it's the way it is. And rather than opposing it or wrestling or saying it's bad or that person is bad, saying, well, this is the way it's appearing right now. But God opens a way where to human sense there is no way. So I'm going to stop thinking that it's bad, that it's a problem, and begin to look for this presence that I'm a part of, that you're a part of. Start looking for that presence. Start looking for what it's already doing to fulfill itself in your life. And then listen to what it has, what it wants to bring forth through you, and then act on that, whatever it is. It may not make sense, but if your life isn't working the way you're doing it, then you need to do something different. And so trust that Spirit is giving you something. It's not always easy. It's not always, you know, what we'd want to be doing, but again, we're wanting to create something new, and so we have to bring it forth in a new way in our lives. As I was putting this together, I was thinking we had Edwin Gaines, the wonderful prosperity teacher here last year, and there's four things she talks about in the process of prosperity: forgiveness, goals, gratitude, and tithing. So I was thinking of those in this context as well, that forgiveness, part of it is just stop. Thinking that this person is wrong, that I was a bad person because I did this or didn't do that, and begin to look for the truth that we're spiritual beings. We may be unripe in our expression, but listen to what God is giving you to do next, to move through that and grow through that in a greater way. Goals. Stop. Take a look at your life. Is it the way that you want? No, then look for what it is that God is calling you to do. Listen to the ideas that come with it, the possibilities, and start doing it. You know, so many times, oh, gee, I'd really like to do this. Well, start doing it. And you know, my favorite phrase is if somebody comes, oh, I wish I could play guitar. And I say, well, get a guitar. Start practicing. Yeah. And then if you keep at it, in 5 years, you'll be able to say, I've been playing the guitar for 5 years. But if you don't start, you can't do that. And so whatever goal you have, do that. Gratitude's the same way. Stop complaining. Stop criticizing the things and start looking at the blessings that are there. Looking at the good that's in our life. Looking at the good that's even in those situations and circumstances and relationships that aren't just the way that you want. There's probably more good there than anything else. If you begin to look at that, listen to what it is that you can do to something different and start to do it. Yeah. Again, with tithing, whether you want to think in terms of proportional giving or whatever it is, stop thinking that it's something that you have to fight. Look for the blessings of people who've been doing it and listen to what God is asking you to do and then proceed. And so all this formula just works in all these different ways of looking at how we do this in our lives. And let's just come back to that phrase, God opens a way where to human sense there is no way. God opens a way. And think of this word express, our English word express. X means out. Press means to press. We are, as Eric Butterworth said, in the express business. Our job is to express this kingdom of God that's available. It's within us, Jesus says. Our job is to press it out, to bring it out into expression in our lives. Abundance is available. And it's waiting for us to stop for a moment and look and listen and then proceed with that sense that good is here. We can struggle to survive, or we can snuggle into that presence and thrive as an expression of that good of God. Abundance is available. Draw it forth and live in that flow. Let us pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for that deep, abiding awareness of your livingness within us and around us, your infinite good that's available, and our openness and receptivity and willingness to put it into action. We know that your good is greater than any difficulty, and that you are opening a way in our minds and hearts to bring forth that good now. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen.